Let's pray before we get started today. Lord, we just come before you, and Lord, we honor you with ourselves, with our mouths, with our senses today, Father, being sensitive to your spirit. Father, for you've already been speaking to your people. I thank you, Lord, that even though you've been speaking, Father, through our worship service, Lord, that we make room for the word. We make room for the word today, Lord, to come into our hearts and to grow, just to grow this plentiful field of seeds that will bring forth a fruit in our lives, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Anoint my lips, God. Let me only say that which you would have me say today. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. So today we are going to go back into our series called Acts. We've taken a little bit of a break because we had the week of Pentecost, which was the book of Acts, literally on display. How many of you enjoyed the week of Pentecost? Yeah, bringing in some new speakers for you guys, getting our feet. Well, we loved Dr. Sam. I'm not even going to try to say his last name because I can't. So he's just known as Dr. Sam in our house. Appreciated his gifting as well as the others that came to minister. But as we go into this, I feel like we should do a little bit of review for those that might be just walking into our series. We won't take much time on our review, but it's important that we understand that the book of Acts is about extraordinary acts done through very ordinary people. Ordinary people. People make the disciples out to be gods. They're not gods. They're learners of Christ. That's what a disciple means. That's you and I. We are learners of Christ. Therefore, if the disciples are dead and we're not, and we're the new learners of Christ, then we are the disciples of Jesus to this day. And if people say that the working of miracles and all these acts that were written about in the Bible died with the disciples, well, then all of us are going to have to die before these works stop working. Miracles, signs, and wonders are for today, not for yesterday, not for last week, and they're definitely for our future. Amen? Everyone say, miracles are for today. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Some miracles might look different. Let's be real. If I ask if there was any blind eyes in this house, do I have a blind eye in here? And if I do, I'm going to pray for you at the end of service. Right. You can go across seas and you ask for a blind eye and the whole crowd will raise their hand. Do you want to know why? They don't have optometrist. That hasn't hit their field of Africa yet. You can talk about leprosy. What is leprosy? It's a skin disease. Guess what? We have MRSA. Guess what? 9 times out of 10, it's different than it was before then. We don't wear sackcloth and go out to the wilderness and live for 40 years. It's different, right? The miracles of today, it's not the miracle. Power is different. The need for miracles in what the ailment is might have changed just a bit in America. Let's be honest. We don't have a lot of those same diseases. But we've got mental illness on a huge rise. We've got anxiety. People ridden with depression and fear that can't leave their homes to get a job. What is that? The demoniac? The demoniac who was lost in his mind, who didn't know what to do, didn't even know how to put his clothes on because he'd become so mentally ill. Miracles are for today. Acts 1:5-8, this is our review. What we see is that Jesus goes to the cross. He resurrects in 3 days. He pays for our sin. He purchases us as his people. And then he goes around showing people himself before he leaves this earth, but he's resurrected. Why? Because he needs people to be his witnesses that they saw him after death. But as he's walking around telling them, he tells them this very scripture, Acts 1:5-8. It tells us that Jesus commanded his disciples and his followers to go to Jerusalem and wait. Someone say wait. Whew, that's a hard word. Until the Father sends a gift that he's promised. And when he comes to you, you will, not you might, not you could, not I hope, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Telling people about me everywhere. Now, why did this power come? So they could be his witnesses. Why did that power come? So you and I could be his witnesses. Some of us get that mixed up. We think his power come so we could be a Pentecostal church. And speak in tongues. Is that what it said? That happened to be the evidence that they were filled with his power. But it wasn't the only reason that they existed. Some of us Pentecostals need to hear that. There's nothing wrong with being Pentecostal. There's something wrong when you put your faith in speaking in tongues, and that's where your power comes from. And then you look down on anyone else that don't. We're not going to go there. That's not who we are, right? You will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. We move on down to Acts, the second chapter, verses 1-4, and we see that they were obedient and they did exactly as he had commanded. I just want to pause right here because I know for my personality type, it's very hard sometimes when I can't see the end from the beginning. I want to know exactly what God wants from me. And if he doesn't sometimes tell me A, B, C, D, E, all 26 alphabets in order, I get a little nervous. So I ask myself, if God would have looked at me, if Jesus would have looked at me and commanded me to go to Jerusalem and wait, what am I waiting for? Well, you're going to receive power. What's that power going to look like? Well, I'm not going to tell you, Nicole, just go to Jerusalem and wait. Well, I got two kids. How am I going to feed them while I wait? Well, God's going to make provision for you. Okay, well, where are we going to sleep? What if it takes more than 8 hours? How long do you think this is going to take? Because there was really a list of things that I had to do before. How many of you can understand where I'm coming from in that moment? But these followers and these disciples took Jesus at his word and went. They obeyed. You realize part of you and I receiving the power of the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses means that first we must obey in spite of our plan. They simply obeyed. They didn't care about their comfort level. They didn't care about where the kids were going to sleep or how long church service was going to last, because they believed what Jesus Christ had said, not just with their tongue, but they followed with footsteps and action proved. Because we don't know how many were there. We don't know how many had been told to go, but we know 120 of them went, obeyed, and they received. When they said that they did as Jesus commanded, it says in the Bible, there suddenly came. Suddenly. They were expecting something to happen because the gift of expectation was present in them. Their faith was there because they were hanging on what Jesus said. But they had to wait. I don't like waiting very much. Walmart has taken me out of the waiting spirit. It's instant. Fast food has made me like instant. Instacart. How about that? You don't even have to go to the grocery anymore. You just call, you tell them what you want, and instantly it comes to your house. They're like, how long can you be here? It'll be a half hour. Oh, I'll choose someone else, and I can get it in 15. That's crazy. But our society is teaching us that everything is instant. God says sometimes you might have to wait. But the Holy Spirit came and all were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the initial evidence of the infilling of speaking in tongues. They were speaking in other people's languages so they could understand one another. And the Bible tells us that it was the Holy Spirit that gave them this ability. Amen. Know this, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, it is nothing by your own right that you have done. It is only by the work of his Spirit. Amen? And we are to be thankful for it. Now, I feel like I should take a moment so that you and I can see the big picture. In the beginning, God makes man and woman in his image, places them in this beautiful garden, And they do the one thing that God the Father asks them not to do. Out of everything, just one thing he asks you not to do. And they do it. Disobedience. Yet again, they couldn't obey. It immediately separates them from this intimate relationship with God. They've sinned. They have fallen from their rightful place with God. God, over time, helps man by creating laws to help them live a life of righteousness. But no matter what he provides, they just can't do it on their own. He says, we got to do something else. But he had already thought of this plan before the foundations of the earth as a saving grace for mankind. Isn't that amazing? A God that knows in your own right and in your own ability, without his help, you will not be able to choose what's right from wrong. So he sends Jesus. Jesus wraps himself in human form so that he doesn't just come to this earth, but he comes to this earth and shows you how to live a life. Have you ever heard the parent that says, when they're correcting, don't do as I do as I say? We've all seen that in the old movies, right? Do you know any kid that does what their parent says and doesn't do what their parent does? Because kids watch what you're doing. Kids emulate, kids model what they see done, not just what they hear. So God knew without an example, you and I could not succeed. I heard a leadership soundbite that comes through. We have a staff thread with some of us leaders, and it says that leaders lead by showing behavior. If you just come and you're the last one in and you're late and you never show up early, how will your volunteers, how will your children know that they are to clean up the kitchen dishes if they don't see you get up from the table, pick up your plate with you, and go do it? But you sit there and you think those dishes are going to magically get into the sink, rinse themselves off, land in the dishwasher, and somehow when you open that cabinet, they're right back in the same spot. Who do you think did that? In my mom and dad's house, it was my dad. He was the dishwasher. But if we sit there and left our dishes on the table, he would look at us and say, what, you think your hands are broke? Pick them up, put them in the sink. We live by example. God didn't just tell us what he wanted. He sent us an example. The world had a wrong view of who God was. They thought he was angry and this moody God that got mad one minute and happy the next. No, what happens is you keep sinning in spite of what he's given you the reason to get out for. So when God sent Jesus, he said, look at him. Because when you've seen me, when you've seen my action, when you've seen me loving, when you've seen me praying for people that healing would come, when you've seen me forgiving people, when you've seen me ministering to people, when you've seen me multiplying the fishes and the loaves and feeding people, this is who God is. If you've seen me, you've seen him. The view was broke. So when God sends Jesus, it was so you could see him. It was so you could hear him. It was so you could touch him and feel him and see that he could live this life perfect. Now, perfection for you and I is quite the struggle. But Jesus did ministry. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. But Acts is the gospel of men. Come on, come on. Jesus did Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But when Acts comes around, this is the story of where you and I don't stop ministry. We continue ministry. As Jesus did, so do we. If God is spirit, fully spirit, he says he sends man in human form for you and I. He clothes, spirit clothes himself with humanity. So he would look like you, feel like us, talk like us, walk like us, have be tempted like us, have to make decisions like us, have to listen to the Holy Spirit like us. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. When he got baptized, he not only got baptized by water, but he got baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit as the dove ascended upon him. So Jesus didn't do miracles. Jesus didn't pray for the sick. Jesus didn't walk through life without the Holy Spirit in him. Okay? He took on flesh for us. But then he sent his Spirit to you and I. Because he knew with this fleshly life that you and I could not do it on our own. There was no way that we could continue the ministry of Jesus if we did not have the Holy Spirit living within us and filling us and walking around this life with us. And there's 9 gifts that come with this Spirit. Unfortunately, Pentecostals often get hung up on the first 3. The infilling of tongues, the evidence, the interpretation of tongues, right? This is where we get stuck. But there's 6 others that are important than the vocal gifts. All we think about is what comes out of the tongue. But God says there's the gift of wisdom. There's the gift of healing. There's the working of miracles. There's the gift of faith. What are these? The gift of faith is a faith that doesn't come from yourself. It's a gift from heaven, the Holy Spirit. It says he gives them to whom he wills. Meaning, not that you get one, you're not getting any. You get one, you're, nope, I'm taking that back because I'm an Indian giver. God ain't no Indian giver, and he gives you what you get, and you get it. If he gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit, he gave you the gifting of his own Spirit to do whatever he wants with it when he wants to. Did you hear that? You don't get to choose what you like. You don't get to choose what you don't want. He gives it to whom he wills for his purpose. So when you walk by somebody, this is not in my notes. Lord, I'm just going to go where you want me to go. I was going a totally different route. He must want me to talk about the 9 gifts. When you're walking by someone and compassion hits your heart, and then a thought comes to you, and it's not your thought because you weren't thinking it. You're there to buy your beanies and weenies in Walmart, and you see it. You've got to respond. Not because you want to, not because you feel like it, not because you got time, but because it's uncomfortable and your father told you to. Sometimes you need to quit obeying your flesh and start obeying your father. It says he disciplines those he loves. Man, I got a vitamin B shot this week. It was amazing. Maybe that's what this is. Chuck was having a hard time keeping up with me this morning. I said, I got a doctor. She'll give you some B12. Chuck's going to have to put on his running shoes to keep up with me. Listen, the Holy Spirit drops on you when he drops on you so that you will obey. But every time you and I become calloused to that Spirit, we ignore, we walk away from, we quiet it. Shh, I got to get through this line. I've got a graduation party at 5:00 and you're going to make me late. You understand? That's what you're saying when you don't say yes to the Holy Spirit. Or when you start walking in fear, sometimes the devil don't have to do anything but make us busy in life, and the things that God wants to get done through us won't be done. That's all he has to do, just keep us busy. Keep them about the world's work, and they'll never have time for God's work. And then I'll dull their conscience so bad that they won't even be able to hear the Spirit when he speaks. No, yeah, I heard that, Ray Ray. Yikes, he said. That's what happens. The devil comes in slowly and little. It says that God gives us gifts, but here's the deal. When the Spirit of God came and sat upon Jesus, the word says that he came to give you and I the same power. Someone say same. Not like it, The same power that moved in Jesus is the same power that moves in you and I. So why don't we walk in it? Do we not accept it? Are we too busy for it? Maybe we don't believe it. Because after all, Jesus was perfect and I'm not. So he probably only uses perfect people. Nope. The book of Acts shows us that those people aren't perfect and God still used them. He's using Paul, a murderer who's given his life to Christ, repented, been forgiven, and he's using Paul to do great exploits. Here's the problem. Jesus didn't die on Calvary for just our sins, and that's it. He died on Calvary for your sins and to give you life and give it to you more abundantly, bigger and better than you've ever received. And I'm not talking about your American life only. I'm talking about an eternal life. A life that knows no pain, a life that knows no sorrow, a life that knows no more suffering. But once we get it, I think some of us just sit down and go, yep, I'm done. I got it, and I'm going to heaven, and that's all that matters. Don't you see, the disciples continued what was happening is because they loved others more than they loved. You ready for this? Being hung upside down and crucified? Just saying. Being boiled in oil or water or both in the same day? Shipwrecked, traveled? I mean, it doesn't matter. Bit by a viper? Doesn't matter. You know what they said? I count it all joy. It was kind of like our scripture this morning. He was eager to discuss this before his suffering began. You and I, as soon as we start in this life, we start out really good. We get born again. We get saved. We get filled with the Holy Ghost. We start telling everybody about Jesus. Oh, you just wouldn't believe what God did for me. Blah, 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 blah. And we're just sharing and we're bubbly and everything. Oh, and then our finances are attacked. Pastor Nicole, you just don't understand. I can't even read the Bible anymore because I'm just so broke. So if you're broke, you can't read? If you're blind, you can't read. And if so, I'll get you a Braille book or we'll pray and God will heal you and you can read. Well, I'm just so broke, I can't pray. What do you mean you can't pray? What do you mean? This man died for your sins. He gave his life for you. It's not over. It's just beginning. But see, it says that God pressed through. Jesus came. The joy he endured the cross and counted it all joy. What? How is that possible? You mean the things of this life? You mean the death of a father? Oh, wait, let's start with the death of a dog in March or April of last year. The death of my father in October. The death of Ed. The death of my grandmother the next month. The death of Ed within 2 or 3 months after that. And the death of Randy's father last week. You mean I should be joyful about that? Yep, because in his suffering, I have found life. In this place, when it's hard, when there's persecution, when there's pressure of this life, I just keep digging deeper. I keep digging deeper. You ever see one of those dogs on a chain and they screw them in the yard? Well, let me tell you something. I got a screw about that long. And every time something comes, I dig. I squeeze that dog chain back into the ground because I'm going to tell you why. I'm rooted and grounded in his love. I'm rooted and grounded in this word. And there is nothing in this life that can remove me from his plan or his purpose. But the devil thinks that if I can cause enough pain, if I can cause enough suffering, if I can make the atmosphere, if I can make the circumstances just bad enough They'll lay down and quit doing the work of Jesus. You get that? The work of Jesus. Not the work of your house. Not the work of all this other stuff. The work of Jesus. That's what Acts is. It's the work of Jesus. And you and I have been given the exact same power to live this life that Jesus has. In fact, Jesus tells us, let me see, where was that? That was John. In one of the 10th chapters, I was reading, and he's literally, it's his prayer before he goes up to heaven. He's like, Lord, I've done everything you ask me to do. I've left them with every promise. I've told them everything they need. Now keep them while I'm gone. Don't let them fall back. He tells them all these good things. Why? Because Jesus knows he's went through the list that the Father gave him in order for you and I to succeed, in order for you and I to continue the ministry. And let's not confuse this word with the fivefold ministry. Let's not confuse the word ministry with preacher, teacher, evangelist, prophet, and apostle. Because every single one of us was called to be a minister of the gospel. You may not be a pastor, you may not be an apostle, you may not be a prophet and have to do all that, but you were each called to share the good news. There was not one person in that upper room that did not receive power. It said all were filled. Not all but the pastor, not all but, all were filled to be my witnesses. Do you know that Jesus believes in you? He trusts you. He trusts that you'll continue the work of the ministry. He thinks that you are the ones to deliver this message. He believes you are the ones who will lay your hands on the sick. He believes you are the one that will speak the gospel. Now, I get some of you are afraid. You're afraid of laying your hands on the sick people because you're afraid what's going to happen if he don't. What happens if he does? You got to doubt your doubt. You got to doubt that doubt inside of you that's lying. You got to say yes to Jesus and no to the doubt. Now, I'm not telling you that if you see somebody just walking down the street and they're sick and the Lord doesn't speak to you to go pray for them, I'm not telling you you do that. However, I am telling you to start walking with the Lord in such a way that you would hear, pray. Now, let's do this. David, Jane, Stobers, Randy, you two, I want all of you to start talking really loud. Come on. This is an exercise. Pray. Keep going. Don't stop. Pray. Pray! That's not how Jesus does it. You have to be able to isolate what's happening around you. You have to be able to tune all of your senses. I took a hearing test the other day. Not because my hearing's bad. I found out I got the hearing of a 19-year-old. Just so you know, I can hear. They put you in a room and they isolate you. I'm telling you what, I'm like, holy smokes, this should be therapy. This is amazing. Every mother, every father that has a child in their house needs to go to one of these isolation rooms. It was so peaceful. I could hear anything. I'm like, oh Lord, if I could just have this isolation when I'm in your presence, when I'm doing your work. But see, this is what the devil does. He sends people. He sends voices. He sends thoughts. You see things you've never noticed before. You're like, what's happening? Oh, because if I can get their senses off kilter, they'll never hear or understand what you're doing. But we've got to walk with Jesus. We got to walk with him in the cool of the day. The birds are chirping. It's beautiful. It's peaceful. You've been out. And then the tennis courts at our house start. And all I hear all day is, but in the morning, it's so peaceful at our house. I'm not against tennis, by the way. I saw Hannah. She's a tennis player. I'm not against tennis in any way. It's just in the cool of the day when I'm there to hear Jesus, I didn't come to hear the tennis ball or the swimming or the diving board or the 10 minute break. It's what you get living where we live. Those who walk with Jesus will begin to know his voice. Bree, in the midst of all that, if she'll tune her ear to hear the still small voice, in the midst of chaos, she'll hear and obey. Hear and obey. God's counting on you and I. Let's go to Acts, the 16th chapter. And we're going to start in the 9th verse. He's not only counting on us, he's banking on us. In fact, he put all of his eggs in one basket. All of his eggs in one basket. All in humanity. And he believed that we would answer his call. The 9th verse, it says, that night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. Couple things here. Jesus is speaking to man. God, the Holy Spirit, who has now filled them with power to be his witnesses, is speaking to them. And they're speaking through a dream. A dream. And I might add that, do you notice he said, in the night, Paul had a vision, a man from Macedonia. Well, later we're going to find out that the man might have been a woman because her name was Lydia. Mm-hmm. We'll go there too. Don't ask. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is the Holy Spirit will cause us to know where to go and who to go to. If you're in the grocery store, he'll tell you what grocery to go to. If you're at the baseball game, he'll tell you what mother or father to sit by. If you're at your workplace, he'll tell you when to open your mouth and when to shut it. By the way, if you're getting fired because you're preaching the gospel, you should probably realize that you're there to do a job and let God find the timing for you to do what he wants you to do. He will lead and guide you. But don't just think that it's, well, I'll just get fired for what I believe. Well, that's one thing. But when you set yourself underneath another man, then you are there to complete his work and you're to work as unto the Lord for him. Just want to say that. But in these things, your senses will show you ordinary people how to do extraordinary things. Let's go on down to verse 13. It says, now on the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. And we sat down to speak with some women who had gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshiped God. And as she listened to us, the Lord opened up her heart. And she, who opened up her heart? Whew. And she accepted what Paul was saying. She was baptized along with other members of her household, and she asked us to be her guest. If you agree that I'm a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home. And she urged them until we agreed. I think sometimes you and I have a fear of sharing the gospel with certain people because, number one, we were never led to that person. We simply just saw a person and went, oh, they need Jesus, I'm going over there. I'm not saying that you can't cold call people and that God can't move in that situation. But I'm not believing that you as believers that have been filled with the power need to start there. If you've never ministered to someone, if you've never witnessed to someone, if you've never shared the gospel with someone, I don't think that you cold call it. I think that you ask the Holy Spirit to show you who and where you're supposed to speak to them. And when you do, the scripture said that the Lord prepared her heart. It didn't say that Paul argued with her until she gave up. It didn't say that Paul knew so much of the Bible that she stood astounded and went, "Oh, you're so smart. I should fall in love with Jesus." That's not it at all. It's not it at all. It said the Lord prepared her heart to receive what Paul had said. If you're walking where Jesus wants you to walk, he will prepare the way before you go. Let's go to verse 16. Yep. "One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a demon-possessed slave girl. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her masters." "She followed Paul and the rest of..." Let's just stop right there. Let me just stay there. Okay, fortune tellers and psychics. I'm just going to teach you something my dad taught me a long time ago. As kids, we thought it was really great to go to the graveyards. As soon as I could drive, we would go to the graveyard. Why? Because we like to be scared. We like to think everything was moving around us. And he looked at me and he said, "Nikki," he knew where I was. I didn't have to tell him. Someone had already told him. I don't know who it was, because I don't know who hangs out at the graveyard to watch pastor's daughter where she is. But somebody was. He said, "Let me remind you. You go looking for a spirit, you're going to find it. But when you go looking for the spirit, you don't always get a good one. You better be prepared when the evil one shows up, what you're going to do." I'm like, "What do you mean, Dad? It's a graveyard. Ain't nobody coming out of them graves. They dead." He said, "I'm telling you, you're playing around with the spiritual realm. Here's what I'm telling you. Some of you want a word so bad that you're willing to go to a fortune teller. You're willing to go to a psychic to get it. And here's what I want to tell you. You just saw that it's of the devil. Do not be playing around with that world. You will be led, but you will be led into the wrong place. And lastly, save your money and give it to the church. Don't buy for a psychic. God's word is right here. You want to know the future? Jeremiah 29:11. I have a future for you, and it's one of hope. My plans are greater than you could even imagine. It's to give you a future and a hope that's good. It's viable. But you know what? You're not going to know A through Z. Get saved and wait, and I'll reveal it as we go. Whew. It's a hard place to be, but you don't need a fortune teller. By the way, some of us that are filled with the Spirit, we go from conference to conference to conference. I stole this from T.L. Osborne, but he said that anything that's copyrighted means you can copy it and you have a right to give it out. He said that in his message. I'm just doing what he said. This is what he said. He said, you know, some of us walk around from conference to conference to conference looking for a move of the Holy Spirit. He said, but I come to tell you that the Holy Spirit's in you and he's ready to move. Will you move? We need a word. We need a word to move in the Spirit. We have his word. We got a book full of his word. But we want an individual word. The individual word is, you will receive power to be my witnesses in all of the earth. Go. Go. Continue my ministry. Continue my work. It's not dead because I'm in heaven. I've left you my Holy Spirit. I've filled you with his power. His power. It's not of your own work. You couldn't do it. Your fruition couldn't do it. Even on your best day, if you tried, you couldn't do it. But the Holy Spirit in you can, and he will. And I'm waiting to see the exploits. And you'll do greater things than I ever did. Isn't that beautiful? When you and I listen to the Holy Spirit, we're led to these people. Let's go to verse 25. By the way, watch what happens to Paul. We're going to move on down here. It says, she followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they've come to tell you how to be saved. Well, what's wrong with that? That's true. This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and it instantly left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities to the marketplace. Let me tell you something. Paul didn't know that the demon inside of her was bad on his own accord. He knew it because one of the gifts of the Spirit is the discerning of spirits. This is not a discerning of one's personality. Please let me fix this. Please let me fix this. Well, you know, I discern the spirit because I know this is really what she's thinking. Stop. Stop. The discerning of the spirits is to know what spirit it come from. What spirit? Is it good or is it bad? This girl was saying truth. Did you hear me? Some of you are listening to speakers who are saying the truth, yet the spirit that is within them is evil. Their motive is evil. They are drawing people away from the church. They're waiting for the right moment in time to be the wolf and draw you out and to pull you and put you somewhere else. The discerning of spirits is to be able to discern whether what is being said is evil or is good. By the way, in the last days, if I had to choose one gift stronger than any other, I would want the discerning of spirit. Let me tell you why. Because the Antichrist is going to come in. He's going to be wounded when he's rose to power. Just picture JFK. I'm just going right down your line right now. He's going to be wounded, shot, stabbed. I don't know. Wounded by a virus, for all we know. He got a COVID shot. I don't know. Whatever you want to make up in your mind. He was wounded. But he comes back the next day to power. And he says, look what God done. If you don't know, you'll be led astray. And you'll think that it was God that healed that man. Remember, in the end times, they will do works among us. They will do miracles. They will do signs. They will do wonders in order to draw you away. I'm telling you, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need the filling of the Holy Spirit that you can receive the discerning of spirit when the time would come that you would need it in this last day, that you would be able to interpret what is being said, that you would understand evil versus good, because what is wrong will be right, and what right is will be wrong. And if you don't have the discerning of spirits, you will not be able to know which way is right or which way is wrong. Whew. Paul knew when he looked at that little girl that there was a demon and she was possessed by it, even though her words were saying the right things. Now, it was called a mocking spirit is what it was. Her masters of hopes and wealth were shattered because now she was no longer doing that, right? She wasn't doing it. But look what happens. When you and I start to receive vision, what did Paul do first? He received a vision and he began to obey. Then he's led to where God wants him to be led. He starts ministering and receiving people in salvation. The church is growing because it wasn't just Lydia that got saved. It was her household that got saved. Now the church is being added to. And then he casts a devil out because the Lord starts working through him with the gifts of the Spirit through the discerning of spirits. And then lo and behold, guess what happens? Now it's time for persecution and suffering. Because now the people that had the little girl are mad because their money is gone. So look what it says in 23. Now Paul and Silas, city's official, ordered them to be stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. And the jailer ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into an inner dungeon and clamped their feet with stocks. When you and I start to do the work of the kingdom, and we start to work like Jesus worked, when we start to hear the Spirit and obey, and we start to win people to Jesus, and we start to add to the church, and we start to see the spirit of the world at work in people. Don't you understand? Look at what's being said in the scriptures. The typology is just as there as the real part of this story. There's a real story, but there's a typology that's in there too. When you begin to see the work of the devil at work in people and you begin to pray and release them from that demonic power that's over their life, the enemy comes to beat you, put pressure on you, and lock you up. And he don't lock you up in the first level. He don't lock you up in the second level. He comes to lock you up and to take your freedom away and to tuck you back into an inner dungeon. Let me tell you something. When you start moving in the work of the Holy Spirit, he comes with a vengeance. He brings your past. He brings all of your sin. He brings everything to the forefront of your mind and says, don't you remember? You ain't got freedom. You're locked up. You ain't worth nothing. I'm going to beat you down, keep you low, not let you up out of who you were. But you want to know why? Because you're doing God's work, because you're doing his Holy Spirit. But here's the problem. Church, here's the problem. Some of us have been put in prison and we ain't never come out. We got saved. We got filled. We started sharing. We started bringing people to church. They started getting saved. The church started growing. Oh, and then we started seeing other people bound by the devil. And we started praying and releasing demonic power over their life, releasing them from it. And they became shackle free and not bound anymore. But then the devil plain changed his game. He's like, oh, that's all right. I'll lock them up instead. I'll lock them up. If they won't not obey God, if they'll listen to him and they're really going to serve him, then I'm going to lock them up. I'm going to remember what I really am about, what I really can do. Paul and Silas are in the inner chambers of a dungeon. Oh, but we all know this story. It's one of my favorites in the Bible. That's why I couldn't not preach it. This is what it says in the 25th verse. It says, oh, around midnight. Someone say midnight. Let me tell you something. God doesn't always do it in the light of day. God doesn't always do it when things are rosy and the sun is shining, but he waits until you're at the last minute. He waits. Did you hear me? Because he wants to show himself in a different way. He wants to do something that's extraordinary through ordinary people. And he knows that if you can just wait a little longer, if you can just hang on in faith, if you can just expect him to move in the midst of your trial, in the midst of midnight, he'll come through. Sometimes he waits. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, when did we hear that? Suddenly he comes. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains fell off. What? The chains of every prisoner fell off. Wait a minute. You mean the way you and I suffer? You mean the way I handle a dog, a dad, a grandma, a staff member, a pastor, and a father-in-law? Someone's going to look at and it could set them free? Yeah, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He said all the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped. As he assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, stop! Don't kill yourself! We are all here! We are all here! The jailer called for the lights, and he ran into the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. Amen. Listen, do you know what happened to Paul and Silas? Just in a few chapters before, if you've been reading through with Acts, you saw that Peter was bound, that Peter was in prison. And what happened? They opened the prison doors and they ran out. They escaped. So if Paul knew this, why didn't he do the same? Because Paul was compelled by love. Paul was of a Roman descent. He understood what would happen to that jailer. if all those prisoners left on his watch, he was going to die. They were going to kill him. He had a spirit of suicide. He was ready to kill himself before anyone else could. But love saved him. Love saved him from the spirit of suicide. Love compelled Paul and Silas to go, no, 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 no. Don't take your own life. We're here. We're here in spite of us wanting to be delivered. In spite of us wanting our freedom. We're willing to die so that you will know God's love and how he can save you.
Amen.
What? What? Church, get a grip of that. Do you and I love at the place that we would be willing to lay down our life truly? That someone else would be saved? Because I know where I'm going. Would I? I think I'd have been running. I'm going to be real. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. Even at the hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. When you show love, you receive love. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into the house and set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. Let me tell you something. Your freedom from the devil, your freedom from your life, your freedom from suffering, when you lift up your praise, when you lift up your shout, your freedom will cause others to be made free. And that's the truth. Church, your testimony is bigger than you ever think. It's bigger than you ever think. And I often wonder what Paul and Silas sang that night. I wonder, did he sing the worthy song, that you are worthy? Did he sing Amazing Grace? What psalm that David wrote did he sing? Your praise has power. Stand to your feet this morning. Let us stand and let us, church, we've had such a good day. Such a good day in the Spirit. He's been so good to us. I was so compelled to tell you today that your ministry has not stopped. The ministry of Jesus continues through you and I. Where's Tammy? Tammy, you were down here worshiping. Come down here. You're not in the light. And if I go in the dark, I get in trouble. Should have seen him last week trying to catch me. Didn't tell anyone I was going to do that walk around the church. I saw you today.
Yes.
Down front here.
Yes.
God says that there's been a season of seeking and a season of drawing near. And you've often wondered, is this it? Is this it? Is this what you have for me? Like, I'm okay, Lord, if this is what you have for me. But God says, I'm about to do something. And all of that planting, all of that watering with the word is going to literally, I just saw you like this. It just poofed up like a puffer fish. I can't explain it. The seeds are in there. And they're coming and they're getting ready to draw forth a fruit that you can't imagine. I see an evangelistic spirit all over you. I don't know what your desire is or if that's what it is, but I'm telling you, your love is doing something else. I saw a portrait of somebody on you. I'm not going to tell you publicly who that is, but I'm going to tell you in private. It's an evangelistic spirit, and he says, greater shall thy be in the name of Jesus. Take, receive it. I didn't see that till after I went back to the front row and I stood. And I heard the Lord say, you didn't think she was that person. You saw that because it was my spirit telling you that greater will she be than that person's name. And I said, Lord, but the service doesn't allow for that. Like, we're not there right now. We already passed it and I missed it. He said, no, will you obey? I'm not teaching or preaching anything to you today that God's not walking with me through. That confirmed something in Tammy's heart. A And now she's going to start moving according to the purpose of the Lord. That's the gifts of the Spirit for the church, for the fivefold ministry. And it's being worked here. Why? For His purpose on a greater level. Your purpose is to go to the highways and the byways. And He might not tell you a red letter of that person's life in writing, but what He can do is say, tell that person that she's beautiful today and God loves her. And when you do, you might not know that her father had been the one that told her she was ugly every single day of her life. And she associated the love of her father with the love of the Heavenly Father, and she thinks He hates her. It's that simple, church. Acts is not only for preachers. Acts is not only for leaders of the church. Acts is for everyone. God's looking to do extraordinary things through you. Will you allow Him? That's it. He believes in you. He trusts you. If He didn't trust you, I don't think He would have left. I think He would have stayed and said, man, I got a lot of work to do here. But He didn't. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to leave My Spirit with them. And they will be My witnesses. They will receive power. If you're here in this house today, and you've heard the message, and maybe you found yourself here for the first time today, and you don't even know why you're here, but you heard the message, and all you can hear is salvation through the entire message. That's how God is. He becomes all things to all people. It's the best horoscope of the world is Jesus, if you don't know that. Because everything you need in this service, He's giving to you, and to you, and to you, and to you, and you're all at different places in your life. And yet you're all getting His word through it. If you're here and you want to make Jesus your personal Savior today, if you want to say yes to Jesus and no to the world, you're like, Pastor Nicole, there's something different about listening to the gospel today. It's because the Lord prepared your heart to receive His word. And He's here ready to receive you. If there be anyone in this house today that would say, I'd like to know Jesus as my personal Savior, just lift your hand, ever so gently. Just lift your hand up and say, Pastor Nicole, that's me. That's me. You're talking right to me. Is there anyone here in this house? I see a hand. Yes, I see a hand. Aha, I see you. I see you. Thank you, Miss Ella. Anyone else under the sound of my voice today that would like to give their life to Jesus? Okay. Today we're all going to pray this prayer. We're all going to pray this prayer together in one accord. Just repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask You to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I'm going to live for You. Devil, I'm not listening to you no more. I'm going to listen to Jesus. He says I should live for Him and that He made the way and that now the Holy Spirit's with me. Help me, Holy Spirit, become more like Jesus. I believe that Jesus died and rose again on the third day. For me. Thank You, Lord. I'm now Your child. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Church, that's a salvation today, and we'll take it. I remind you, we're going to continue our series on Acts next week. And I'm asking you to read from the 21st chapter to the 28th chapter. The rest of the book, because we're doing this together. And I want you to read of those acts so that when we preach them, you understand them, you see them, you hear them in a different light. Please invite someone to church with you. If we really believed that today was the last day on earth, would we live our life the same? Or would we live it different? Father, we just come before you. We give you this day. We thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us with your presence, that you've sown your word into our hearts. Now, Father, I thank you that the devil comes to immediately steal the word that was sown. I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you from stealing this seed that has been fallen upon these hearts. And Father, I thank you that this word that has gone forth will challenge and stir up and cause a revival within to begin to seek and save and search after the lost like your son did. Father, for what's important to you is important to us. And it's not okay that God has a whole lot of children that are found and a whole lot that are lost. You want them all found. Make our hearts and our eyes and our ears hear and see and help our feet to move according to that way. We choose to obey and walk the way you would have us go. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Church, we love you. We will see you on Wednesday night. By the way, those of you have asked a lot of questions about Pastor Randy. I don't want to steal his thunder, but I'll tell you one thing. He said, Nicole, I walked on the stage. I looked behind me and guess what was missing? I said, what? He said, Pastor. And he said, it hit me like a brick. He said, and then I preached the word of God, and a woman with a stroke came up, and the entire left side of her body would not move. And I prayed the prayer of healing, and God moved, and she left moving the entire left side of her body. I'm here to tell you that God's not looking. He's not looking at a man. He's looking for anyone who will say yes. Say yes to God and watch what he can do this week. Keep praying. The team goes out. The youth left on their missions trip today. Please pray for the people that are out there with them. They're going to need all the help they can get. Love you, church.